on Friday, there'll be a men's meeting at 6:30 in the morning here at the church. And then next Sunday, I get the opportunity to go back to Steam Threshers and share there early in the morning, so be praying about that. I count it a real privilege to be able to do that because I get to touch a lot of people's lives with what God wants to say to them, and so they've been faithful to ask us back, and so we're thankful for that. So we're excited about that. So be praying about that, and then I'll be back over here to do services here. I'll be a little bit late, so my guys will take care of that. But anyway, we'll start there. Then we also I got you on the schedule. Hold on, I'll get you in just a second. I got one of yours up here. Fajocha's having their annual golf tournament, so any of you golfers want to do that? It helps raise funds for kids to go to camp. And then also we have what Jennifer was pointing out there. Jennifer is doing the Walk for Life, or a Life Walk, First Choice Clinic, Saturday, September 27th. And if you want to, you can sponsor her. She's going to walk over 500 miles. No, I don't know. if you want to sponsor so much a mile, there's these papers back there. Talk to her about it. And anybody else that wants to do that, you're open to do that. You can sponsor, take it to your family, neighbors, and they can sponsor, and all the money raised goes and helps First Choice Clinic do what they do. And if you ever want to find out, just go up there and visit their clinic, and it'll be a great opportunity for you to do that, okay? Then also, we're coming up October 3rd through the 12th. Tim will be back, and we're going to be at Lakewood Park Bible Camp. We ask that you would continue to pray with us about that. And so every Monday night from here until then, we're going to meet at Lakewood Park Bible Camp and pray. So if you want to, drive up to Lakewood Park Bible Camp and pray throughout the evening. You can do that. And the time that we're going to start there was 7, right? Yeah, 6:30, 7 o'clock, right at the Lakewood Park Chapel. And Ray and Lisa and others that are gathering there will be leading a prayer time. And it'll be a great opportunity just to lift up that and watch God do. Here's the key to anything God wants to do. He loves to build his kingdom. He's not worried about certain churches. He loves to build his kingdom. So get excited about building the kingdom of God, touching somebody's life that maybe you haven't touched in your own walk in everyday life. So keep that in mind and encourage that as well. So does anybody have any other announcements that we need to make at this time? Anything else? There's Pot Blessed today, so. Oh, yeah, right, food drive. I didn't have that wrote down. On Thursday, beginning at 9 o'clock over in Cooperstown, I'm not sure where, but I think it's a grocery store, the mobile food bank will be there, and they're going to go from Cooperstown to Carrington to New Rockford to Cheyenne, and I don't know if it's going back to Binford this time, but it might be. But anyway, if you want to go and help serve and just pass out food to people that are in line, it's a great opportunity. We had 8 people up in Devil's Lake helping with passing out food and praying for people and different things like that. So it's a great opportunity just to bless somebody. So if you want to be a part of that, there might be a carpool, but pretty good chance we're going to go from there and we're going to follow it all the way. So if you only want to go one place, you might have to drive specifically. But that'll be coming up. Is it Tuesday or Thursday? Thursday, and that begins at 9 o'clock at Cooperstown. So if you want to be a part of that, it'd be a good opportunity for your kids to do something as well if you want to bring them with. Good opportunity. So, okay, any other announcements we need to make that I forgot? Yeah. In that barn?
In the barn.
Did we get a poster on? We didn't get a poster on it this time. Oh, is that? Okay. They sent it way early. Okay, so Tim and Becky Hager have a sing-along down at their barn down by north of Valley City, south of Valley City. So if anybody wants to go, talk to Lyle and Carol, okay? Cool. Yes? Behind the hardware store? Okay. You'll see a big semi. You can't miss it. It says Food Bank of America. So, okay. Okay, thanks, Lauren. Maybe we'll see you there. All righty. Well, why don't we dismiss the kids going someplace today? Anybody got kids? Okay, they get to stay. Otherwise, stand and shake hands with somebody, and we'll get back and get into God's word, okay? Alrighty. When you return to your seats, you can turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Well, if you want to, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn there with us. If you don't have a Bible and would like to follow along, there might be one in the chair in front of you. Matthew chapter 7, yep. It's always interesting to watch how God orchestrates the service, because nobody knows what I'm preaching on, and I don't know what songs Carol picks out, and I don't know what you've been going through, so it's always fun how God orchestrates the whole thing. But in Matthew chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your word, once again, will go forth. It'll go forth with power like it always does, having its way to invest in us that which we need to know and understand and put into our own lives, so that what comes out of us looks exactly like you and your word. So, Father, help us today to receive your word, and not only receive it, but also to apply it. For, Lord, your word is of no value unless it's used, just like anything else in life. It can have all the things of this world, but we never use it. It's of no value to anyone. So we thank you and praise you, Lord God, for how you're going to take your word and invest it in us today. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's always interesting to look at, why do you ask God for things that you ask for? You ever wondered that? Why do you ask him for things? Because you're going to believe what he'll deliver. Yeah. You ever look at what you ask him for? And when are you disappointed that when you ask, you don't receive? Because let's face it, God doesn't answer everything I ask for. So how do you handle that disappointment? How do you handle what you've been asking God for? And it's interesting. I have to ask myself, why do I ask God for the things that I ask him for? And what am I seeking him for? And what am I knocking for? And I find it interesting in a Christian walk that many times when it comes to asking God for something, we beg. Oh God, please, please God. We're human. But he said, ask, don't beg. Because if you're a child of his, my children don't have to come to me and say, oh Dad, please, can I have a drink of water? You don't have to beg. Have you had to do that, Taylor?
Three times.
But in the reality of asking God, he tells us to ask, not beg. One of the things that I've tried to learn for myself over the years is that God is my dad. And he knows what I need before I even ask. And if I would learn to ask, and if he says no, not keep begging. But if he says, in the Greek, this passage says, when you ask, keep on asking. When you seek, keep on seeking. When you knock, keep on knocking. You see, it's not just a one-time deal and then you quit. You keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking, because this whole passage really falls in the midst of prayer. It falls in the midst of talking to God and asking him for things that we long for. And so when you ask for God, you keep on asking, but you don't have to beg. You don't have to twist his arm, so to speak, to get him to answer. But when we ask, I can just sit and know deep down inside of me that when I ask my Father for something, he's a good daddy, and he knows exactly what I need before I ask him. And that's so important when we go to God, because sometimes in our natural parents, we've gone and asked, or we fail to ask because we already know what the answer is. Right? Well, what's the use of asking? He's just going to say no anyway. Well, but remember, God is not always complete characteristic of what our parents were. So when we go to God and we ask, we have to come to him with the understanding that God is a good God. He knows exactly what we need, and he says, come and ask me. So I will go and ask, and it will be given. So when you ask, remember, don't beg. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. He's talking to the nation of Israel, obviously, and giving them commands, but he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, he says this, but if from there you seek the Lord with all, Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. Key word is seek. That's the very next part of ask, seek, and knock. Isn't it interesting that when you seek for something, it's not a casual finding? When you seek for something, it's not a casual finding. It's like when you're walking across the parking lot and look down and say, oh, there's a quarter. Oh, look what I found. It's not like you were going, looking for money, looking for money, looking for money. I'm seeking, looking for money. Ching, 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 ching. Oh, there's some in here, Howard. No, no, just kidding. Yeah, he takes his boot off. But it's totally different. Because many times we go to God casually just to try and find something. It's a casual seeking. Like, I really don't need him all the time. I only need him when I need him. So when I'm going down life, I just all of a sudden say, God, I need this. And I'll say, oh, look at that. God provided. And we never seek for him again. But when the Bible says seek for him and you will find him, that means you're consistently on watch. You're just looking for God. You're just desiring God. You're actually desiring to want to know this God that you're seeking for. And so when you go to him and you seek for him, you'll find him if you seek with him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Or with all your heart, with all your soul, as Deuteronomy 4 says. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart. Notice the key word is if. He's not just someone you want to go to and casually seek. Because God isn't a casual God. He's not somebody that just shows up once in a while and all of a sudden blesses you. He's someone that he wants to be so much involved in my life and your life that he wants us to come to him because he longs to be with you. He can't wait to be with you. It's his greatest desire to walk with his people that he created to serve him. But what he's waiting for is for me to want to walk with him and serve him. He's waiting for us to come to him. He's waiting for us to seek him. He's waiting for us because from his perspective, remember, Jesus is already done. He's sat down at the right hand of the Father. He's fulfilled his work. So his job of seeking you is all done. It's already set in stone, so to speak. He longs for you. He can't wait for you. That's already set in stone, so to speak. But the reality is that he's waiting for you and I to come to him and seek him and to ask him and to knock at his door because he has everything that I would ever need in all the days of my life, and he'll never, ever disappoint me because he's a good daddy and he knows exactly how to give me exactly what I need, not what I want. Big difference. Many times we want things that would only destroy us. Let's just put it this way. Sometimes there's things that we want that don't make sense. Why God doesn't fulfill? Bottom line. Why wouldn't God want this? I don't know. But for some reason, it's not here. But that's where I have to take that step and say, okay, God, I have to trust you. I have to trust you that what you saw and what you did is exactly what you wanted. And I have to trust that my physical knowledge here on this earth is not able to comprehend the eternal purpose of things being done or not being done the way I would want them. So he says, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart and with all your soul. That's your mind, your will, and your intellect. That means I have to be on a constant search of who he is. Isn't it interesting that Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, says, I want to know him, and he'd already written how many books? And he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I don't know about you, I like the first part better. I like the power of his resurrection, I like that part, but the fellowship and sharing of his sufferings, I'm not excited about. But for some reason, Paul knew that there was more than just the enjoyment of this great abundance of God's resurrection power, but also walking through the suffering, which we've seen through the beginning of Scripture. We've seen righteous, godly men suffer through lots of different things, but watch God fulfill his purpose. You read through the whole book of Hebrews, or Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about all the saints that waited upon God and waited and waited and waited and never saw the fulfillment of what they were asking for, but they never quit. That's the kind of faith I want. That's the kind of faith that I want to get to, because I'll be honest with you, I won't know I'm there until I walk it. But I have to decide today that that's where I'm going to be. I can't wait till that moment and say, faith or God not answering. I'm not sure. I don't know if I want to go with faith. You know, I have to decide that today, that I want to walk with God no matter what happens, because that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus walked because of obedience to his Father, no matter what happened around him, no matter what happened to him, he walked with him. So when you seek for God, don't be a casual seeker. Don't be a tire kicker. You ever walk into a store and look at stuff and the people come up and they probably know what you're going to say anyway. Can I help you? And it's like, no, just tire kicking, just looking around. Not going to buy anything, just wasting time because I'm waiting for my husband or waiting for my wife. Just seeking, just a little bit because I'm here. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't step foot in your store because I've already been to all the other ones. You know what I'm saying? So just casually seeking him. God wants us to go beyond that of just a casual seeker. So today I pray for myself and for you, because we're all in this together. I can get just as lazy as anybody seeking the Lord, because I've watched God do things for 26 years. How hard can it be? Get up and say a few words, take an offering, sing a few songs, and go home. That's easy. I can do that. Sure you can. But if you don't have God's blessing on it, what good is it? We've done it all for nothing. So it's very important for us to learn to seek God with all of our heart. Now, knocking. Interesting. I was asking the Lord. I said, the only place in Scripture I hear about knocking is here and in Revelation. In Revelation, he says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. That's a bad place for God to be, because he's writing to the church. And if God has to knock to get into your church, you're in trouble. Where does God live? Is he knocking today? He's supposed to live there. But you know as well as I do, sometimes he's more of a visitor than a live-in. Is he knocking? He was writing to the church, not the unsaved. He doesn't knock at the door of the unsaved. He draws him by his Spirit. He knocks at the church's door. So let's ask ourselves a deep question today. Is Jesus knocking on my door today? I pray he's not. Because if he's not already in here, guess what? He's standing on the outside of my life looking in saying, can I come in? Jeff. And if I turn a deaf ear to him, that's not good. So I asked him, I said, what's the difference between this kind of knocking and the knocking in Revelation? When we're in our house, our kids have the freedom to go anywhere in the house. Notice I said kids. But there's one place that they usually knock. Two. It's our bedroom door and the bathroom. Anybody in there? I gotta go. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, Mom. Dad, come on. You know, whatever. So there's two places that you normally knock. Not because you're on the outside, but you're wanting to make an entrance into some place that you normally maybe not always enter. And you know, when God says, knock and it will be open to you. God is leading you into a place where you can knock and get into places where you normally don't go because it's a part of his plan, not a part of absence of being there. And so when he tells us to knock, he tells us to knock and keep on knocking because God has so many places for us to go. When we go to him and we can knock and say, Lord, can I go here? Lord, can I go here? Lord, can I go here? Can I come in? Come in? Come in? He say, yeah, come on in. He might open that door and just continue to open that door and knock. Now, interestingly enough, a visitor always usually knocks, right? A visitor knocks, not a child. I pray that you and I knock on God's door and that he's not knocking on ours. Because knocking on our door tells us that he's on the outside of our life looking in, wanting to get in. But if we're knocking on his door, that means there's access to a place where we can go, but we can't go without permission. And so when you and I step into a new realm of what God wants, we go there by permission, not because we had the right to be there because of who I am. But we step into that realm of knocking at his door and seeking and asking him. Now, okay. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 11. This is the same passage of scripture that Matthew 7 has, but it's interesting how Luke describes the next verse. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Isn't it interesting that none of them say maybe? It says will. It will be opened. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. These are all things that God says he will do. So then he says, for everyone, verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will open. Verse 11, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The difference between Matthew and Luke is Matthew says he'll give us what we need, but Luke says he'll give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I thought about that. I said, why the difference? Well, really, if you're a son or a daughter, you ask, you seek, and you knock, you're already in relationship with him, right? So if we're in this relationship with him and we still ask and we still seek and we still knock, what is all that for? Is that just for you to get what you want? Nope. To advance the kingdom. So when I ask, I can ask for my needs to be met, but most of the time of my own life or what I've experienced is that God will give me more than enough. Not just so that my life is filled, but that I can have some to give away. Or whatever God flows in me splashes off on somebody next to me. Because I'm sharing out of the overflow of what God has given me. Because if I never go to him, and I never ask, I never seek, and I never knock, and I never desire him, what do I have to offer you? Even as believers, I'm not even talking about going out to the world. When you come to church on Sunday, if you haven't spent any time with him, what do you have to offer? Yourself? I don't know about you, but I get sick of myself. I can't even stomach some of the things I think of. And I'm supposed to offer that to you? No. Because of my relationship with him, I get filled up, overflowing out of, it gets in me and it comes out of me so that what comes out of me reflects Christ. And when it reflects Christ, then I can give it away freely because I know there's more coming. I know that God wants me to be that vessel. So when I ask, and it shall be given, That means when I ask God, he fills me so much of himself that I'm able to give away what God put in me, not what I already had. When I seek, I seek him so that when I find him, and he says, seek me and you will find me. That's a promise. So then when I seek him, I find him. Guess what? You'll never guess what I found this last week in the scriptures. But do we do that? How are you doing today? Fine. Anything going on? Not much. Having a good day? I suppose. Sometimes that's just out of the overflow of ourselves rather than God. Sometimes, not always, because there's hard days. Let's just be honest. There's hard days when you hear that, you're like, huh, clue, I'm going to give you some of what I got today. Then the body builds the body. You don't pass up the opportunity to say, boy, they're having a bad day. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to go home to that. No, start investing. Out of the overflow of my relationship, all of a sudden the body reaches to the body, and this hand's hurting, and this hand comes over and helps, and all of a sudden it feels, wow, it ain't quite so bad. I wonder why. Because the body's helping the body. So I don't ask just to get for myself. I don't seek just to get for myself. I don't knock just to get for myself. I get all those things so that I can be functioning as a vessel for God, and God can flow in me. As he says in Luke, I like what he says. Let's read it again. He says, if you then know how to give good, you know, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Turn over to Acts chapter 1. He knows how to give us the Holy Spirit. When you ask God for things and when you seek God for things, you shouldn't be asking just for yourself. You should be asking for the work of the Holy Spirit to happen inside of you so that when you have opportunity in everyday life, you have something to give them, because they might be hurting, they might be struggling, they might be needing something. And if you don't have anything to give but yourself, you can't help them either. And I tell you, that I believe that what's going on with our country, to be honest, I haven't watched the news in I don't know how long. I can't stand to watch the news right now. I've never been like that before. But it's like, what are they going to offer me that I can share with somebody else? Well, did you hear? 25 people got shot the other day. Yeah, that's bad, ain't it? What good news is that? Yeah, it's a bad deal. It's a horrible deal. And I have sympathetic for the people that got hurt, and I have sympathetic for the one that shot them. Because how miserable must that person be without Jesus? I don't point my finger at him and say, boy, what a rotten, low-down, filthy sinner. No, I could be in the same boat tomorrow if I decided to. If I made a bad choice today, I could be in the same boat. And so when I go to somebody and I say, can I help you? The other day I walked into Sam's Club. The lady standing there, you can tell she had faced rejection all day. She walks up and, trying to be upbeat, you know, I'm going to sell you this. Have you? What kind of TV do you got? I said, well, we got Dish. Well, we sell direct, and here's the reason why. And I said, I'll give you one reason why we don't have direct. Sun Life Broadcasting Network. We don't offer that. I said, that's my reason why I don't have direct. Oh. And so we chatted for a while. I said, how are you doing today? And she says, you know what? Nobody ever asked me that. So guess what? My Sam's Club stop was not about, what was it I picked up the other day? Flour. Candy. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't about, it was probably more for her. And so anyway, those are the kind of things that come and take place because you're asking, you're seeking, you're knocking. Now, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told the disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem, and he says in verse 8, very familiar passage of scripture, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They didn't go anywhere until they received the power of what needed to take place. And he says, suddenly, like a sound of a blowing violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came and rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together bewildered, in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. What God put in them was the very thing the people around them needed. And if you and I never wait, Lord, I wait for you. Lord, I wait for you. Why? Because the people around you need what God wants to put in you. And if you don't have it, all you have is something of yourself to offer them. They were in bewilderment because they heard each of them speaking in a language of their own language, and they were from every country under heaven. Because each of them heard them speaking in their own language, utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men from Galilee?" And here's another good example. You know, sometimes people think that the speaking in tongues causes people to be offended or not want to be with God. That didn't happen here. I'm sorry, but I think the gifts of the Spirit are meant to either draw people or offend them. If they're offended, they weren't with God to begin with. So they're just as offended as they were before. But if they're drawn, they're drawn because they see something happening that can't happen naturally. And so I want to encourage you that if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I just want you to encourage you to go and seek God. Take a deep breath and just begin to speak by faith, because you can't do it wrong. You can use it wrong, but you can't do it wrong. Obviously, we've seen where people have used it wrong for their own purpose, but when you ask and you seek and you knock, guess what? The Holy Spirit is not there to push people away. He's there to draw people to himself. And so that's what happened on this day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were saved, and later on 5,000 people were saved as well. Look over and later on in that chapter, Peter was talking. And he says in verse 37 of chapter 2, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call." Those, verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I find it interesting that when we ask and we seek and we knock, it's a result of the relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living in you, the Holy Spirit that's come upon you, and with that comes all the gifts of the Spirit, which you can have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a tongue and interpretation. Obviously, in a church setting like today, you could have a tongue and interpretation, you can have prophetic, you can have all of the nine gifts, and they're all available to every believer. There's nobody that's a specialist in any one. Doesn't say anywhere in the scripture that you had to be a specialist in just one of them. Why not use all nine? If somebody came here today and said, "I need a word of wisdom." "Oh, I can't do that because I only prophesy." What? You serve the same God? Yeah, you should be able to give every gift, should be able to function. Every gift. And you know what? Paul even said in Corinthians, eagerly desire the gifts. Eagerly. Huh? What do? Oh, no, we stay away from them because people misuse them. Well, guess what? You better not drive your car because people misuse them too. You better walk. Oh, don't use your tennis shoes because people use that to, you know, the shoe bomber. You can't use your shoes anymore either then. You see, people misuse stuff all the time, but that shouldn't stop you from using it. People burn food. Does that mean you're not going to eat anymore? Come on, you're not going to cook anymore? Well, when people misuse the gifts of the Holy Spirit, don't stop. Learn how God wants to use it and use it correctly. People misuse guns all the time. But that never stopped me from hunting. So don't let things stop you from obeying God and searching Him out and seeking Him. Because you ask, you seek, and you knock so that the gift of the Holy Spirit can flow through you and you can do what Jesus did. That's what it's meant for. I think my time is just about up. That's good. Where's Albert? Is Albert here? There he is. Hey, listen to this, Albert. I got this from a guy. Hi, my name's, do you pay bills?
He does.
Yeah, my name's William. Right? Albert gave me that one. But the reality is this. God loves. He's a good daddy. He knows how to give what you need. And He can't wait for you and I to ask, seek, and knock and watch Him use you in ways that you couldn't do without Him. Let's stand and pray. It's going to be so important in the days ahead. There might be days when you go to the store and somebody sticks out. It's time to quit. Kevin's shutting the lights off on me. No, I'm just kidding. But let's agree, even today, ask the Holy Spirit, seek Him and knock on His door, because God might want you to speak something to somebody before they leave today, because that's how the body functions. Lord, we just thank You and praise You. We thank You, Lord God, that you desire to do things inside of us that are way beyond us, that we couldn't do if we wanted to. And Lord, I just ask that You would just continue to encourage this body, strengthen this body, allow this body to become all that You had in mind, and in amongst that, strengthen and encourage each and every individual, child, young person, adult, elderly, whoever they are, whatever age they are. Lord, we desire the gifts to move through all of them, that we can all function and be what You had in mind when You created us. Lord, help our limited understanding not stand in the way, but allow the Spirit of God to rise up inside of us so great and so abundant that we see what You see rather than see what we see. And so, Lord, I thank You for the willingness and the desire that is growing in each and every one here. We ask, Lord, that all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow freely through each and every one as the Spirit gives them the ability. Not as we manufacture it, not as we try to make it happen, but Lord, as we walk in obedience and relationship with You, we can use those gifts to touch people's lives. So Lord, help us to be good stewards of the gifts, that we don't misuse them like others have, but we use them in accordance with the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank You and praise You for the opportunity this morning to gather in Your presence and as a body. Now, bless us as we dismiss from this place so that what You want to do through the rest of this day that's on Your agenda will be ours, and that we'll fulfill the role that You have for each of us. So we love You and thank You for that. And Lord, we just give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Out of the overflow of your relationship with Him, all these things will continue to manifest. So just keep searching, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Get to know Him and let Him fill you up to overflowing, okay? God's blessing to you. If anybody wants prayer, come on up. We'd be glad to pray with you.